Welcome to On My Walk, the reading podcast that helps you capture reading's aha moments and apply them to your life and leadership. And welcome to episode 60. That's right. We began this little experiment back in February, and in less than 3 months, we've already recorded 60 episodes. Which brings me to the purpose of starting this podcast in the first place. I've been walking and reading for years, and every morning when I go on my walk, I have a book in my ears, thanks to my Audible subscription. And normally, I also have the print version or the ebook at home so I can transfer notes I record on my walk to my paper or e-copy when I get back to my office at home. Now, these notes, they find their way to Sunday sermons, as they did this past week and as they will this coming week, or to leadership posts on my site, leaderslifeandwork.com, or my devotional posts at don'taskthefish.com. The problem was, and is, that I'm gleaning so much in my reading that if I don't have a means to record it and share it, all that good reading will, at best case scenario, sit in the back of my mind, or worst case scenario, go rot in the field, so to speak. Take last week. Last week was a great week for reading. I think I finished 6 books: On Tyranny by Timothy Snyder, The Road to Unfreedom, also by Snyder, The Burden is Light by John Tyson, The American Spirit by David McCullough, Breakfast at Tiffany's by Truman Capote, and The Fallen by David Baldacci. Now that's great on one hand because I'm learning all kinds of things, but it's a problem on the other because a few of those books, Snyder, Tyson, and McCullough, all deserve multi-podcasts. So what in the world am I going to do? Get to podcasting for starters. So today and tomorrow, I want to share with you a couple of thoughts from The Road to Unfreedom by Timothy Snyder. Now, as I mentioned on my last podcast, Snyder is a Yale professor and historical scholar who has written multiple books on Europe and the Holocaust. He speaks 5 languages. He reads 10 European languages and, among other things, is a member of the Committee on Conscience of the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum. Hence, this disclaimer. I feel very inadequate to comment on much of anything in this book. Snyder is a scholar, and he gives us 283 pages, followed by 60 pages of endnotes validating what he said in the first 283. But in brief, what he does is chronicle the rise of authoritarianism in Russia, compliments of Vladimir Putin, and its impact on Europe and America. And he's warning us that what is happening in Russia can happen here. Now, this new growth of what he terms unfreedom is the consequence of 1, a new form of politics emerging in Russia, Europe, and the U.S., and 2, an inability to reflect and learn our lessons from history about the rise of certain regimes. Pick up the book and you're going to hear about the politics of inevitability and the politics of eternity. The Russian philosopher Ivan Ilyin and his influence on Putin in particular and Russian politics in general. You're going to read about fascism, kleptocracy, the Battle of Crimea, Paul Manafort, and of course, Donald Trump. You're also going to read about cyber war. And on that point, it's hard to read this book and deny Russia interfered, or at the very least attempted to interfere with the elections in the U.S. in 2016. The evidence is simply overwhelming. So let's start there. I'm titling this podcast, The Most Important Kind of War. And that phrase comes from Dmitry Kiselev, the leading figure in Russian television media, who was appointed director of Russia Today by Putin in 2013. And Kiselev is someone the BBC called Russia's chief spin doctor and The Economist dubbed Russia's chief propagandist. And on page 224, so we're getting near the end of the book, Snyder is quoting Kiselev, who called information war the most important kind of war. Now think about that. If an enemy can disrupt a country's information or direct a false flow of information, a stream, or maybe even a large river, the, quote, invading country can wreak havoc without ever firing a weapon. Listen to Snyder's comment about cyber war.
In 2016, about 1 million sites on Facebook were using a tool that allowed them to artificially generate tens of millions of likes, thereby pushing certain items, often fictions, into the news feeds of unwitting Americans. One of the most obvious Russian interventions was the 470 Facebook sites placed by Russia's Internet Research Agency, but purported to be those of American political organizations or movements. Six of these had 340 million shares each of content on Facebook, which would suggest that all of them taken together had billions of shares. The Russian campaign also included at least 129 event pages, which reached at least 336,300 people. Right before the election, Russia placed 3,000 advertisements on Facebook and promoted them as memes across at least 180 accounts on Instagram. Russia could do so without including any disclaimers about who had paid for the ads, leaving Americans with the impression that foreign propaganda was an American discussion. As researchers began to calculate the extent of American exposure to Russian propaganda, Facebook deleted more data. This suggests that the Russian campaign was embarrassingly effective. Later, the company told investors that about 60 million accounts were fake.
That is interesting stuff. Now, Snyder says what has happened in Russia is what might happen in America and Europe. The stabilization of massive inequality, the replacement of policy by propaganda, the shift from the politics of inevitability, and that's the sense that history can only move in one direction toward democracy, liberal democracy, to the politics of eternity. And the politics of eternity is a longing for the past that was never really the past, and a sense that one nation is at the center of history, but always the victim of threats from the outside. And when it comes to political movements on and within a people, information flow is part of what makes that happen. And what he does is at the beginning of chapter 6, which he's entitled Equality or Oligarchy, Snyder quotes Alexander Hamilton, who in 1778 said this, and I quote, "Nothing was more to be desired than that every practicable obstacle should be opposed to cabal, intrigue, and corruption. These most deadly adversaries of republican government might naturally have been expected to make their approaches from more than one quarter, but chiefly from the desire in foreign powers to gain an improper ascendant in our councils. How could they better gratify this than by raising a creature of their own to the chief magistracy of the Union?" Okay, those are the words of Alexander Hamilton in 1778. Now I want you to listen very closely to what follows because it may get you riled up, and I hope it riles you up enough to buy this book and read it, because if you do read Snyder, you're going to see this man is not a conspiracy theorist. But here's what he writes. "The rise of Donald Trump was the attack by these most deadly adversaries of Republican government that Alexander Hamilton had feared. Russian leaders openly and exuberantly backed Trump's candidacy. Throughout 2016, Russian elites said with a smile that, quote, Trump is our president." And Snyder goes on to say this, quote, "Trump was the payload of a cyber weapon meant to create chaos and weakness, as in fact he has done," close quote. Now, I realize those are strong words, but they come at page 219 after 200 pages of carefully detailed ties that make one stop and think about what's going on. For my part, I'm not advocating Snyder's position, but I am advocating recognizing the reality and danger of cyber war, and to ignore this threat is simply sticking one's head in the proverbial sand. And when the guy at the control of the Russian propaganda machine proclaims the information war the most important kind of war, it would be wise to perk up my ears and consider, where am I consuming my news and refusing to take anything at face value simply because I may have heard it delivered by my trusted source of news? For example, the most read news article about the Ukraine in 2014 was written by a man by the name of John Pilger for The Guardian, and it detailed supposed Ukrainian atrocities in Odessa. In reality, those so-called atrocities never took place. That news story was simply a brilliant piece of Russian political fiction translated into English and gobbled up by millions because Pilger used a fake social media page as his source. And I might add, he did it in an unattended fashion. He was caught, by Russian propaganda. No bullets fired, great damage done, because the most important kind of war, the information war, was lost, or at least that particular battle. Let me give you another example, and this comes out of my reading today, and it goes back in history, but it's the same idea. The story is recorded by John Meacham in his brand new book, The Soul of America, The Battle for Our Better Angels. And you can find this on page 60 of his book. But what Meacham does is he talks about the Confederate general, Jubal Early, who was a veteran of Lee's Army of Northern Virginia and also the president of the Southern Historical Society. Meacham writes, "Early strove mightily to burnish or polish the story of the war and its legacy, paying particular attention to the cultivation of the image of Robert E. Lee. By casting Lee as a model of virtue who only reluctantly took up arms to defend his beloved Virginia, and who sought reconciliation after the war, Early and his compatriots gave the Lost Cause narrative the greatest of heroes. When Lee died in 1870, the praise was more than Frederick Douglass could bear." And Meacham continues by quoting Frederick Douglass, who said, "We can scarcely take up a newspaper that is not filled with nauseating flatteries of the late Robert E. Lee. It would seem from this that the soldier who kills the most men in battle, even in a bad cause, is the greatest Christian and entitled to the highest place in heaven." My point here is not to disparage Robert E. Lee, but to make the point that Early was waging an information war designed to undo the gains toward emancipation which were won with the Civil War. Early's work meant unfreedom for the black man in America. So whether it's an information campaign to paint a Civil War general in a way that perpetuates inequality in the South, or a falsified story about Ukrainian atrocities, or cyber war designed to alter elections in America, the road to unfreedom is paved with faulty information disguised as facts. So don't get seduced. Read widely. Consider differing opinions. Check your facts. Don't be a victim of the information war. That's my thought on my walk with Timothy Snyder and his book, The Road to Unfreedom, Russia, Europe, and America. Now, what you do with it, that's for you to work out on your walk through life.